Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Just the Pill this Thursday. I am your host, Winil. Today is July 25th. Summertime is blazing. Awesome. I want you to remember, each day we may be challenged, confronted, enlightened, or encouraged, but remember the purposes for each day is to build our relationship with God, working in our obedience towards our faith, advocating for others, helping others, serving others, learning God's word, hallelujah, studying his word, using it for the spiritual warfare that we're in the last days, and praying. Keep on knocking, and you shall what? Receive. Okay. Y'all can call me at 213-943-3794, 213-943-3794 to voice your comments and your opinions, a testimony, and I'm glad to be with you today. So good afternoon, It seems as though it's been a while, but actually no. Last week we did talk about the complainers and the grumblers in the wilderness found in Exodus and Numbers. And our focus was just to discuss having gratefulness on the journey to the promised land. I recognize when I was reading through Numbers and Exodus, the people were constantly complaining, but I did not see where they were thanking God for everything that they had because of him. Remember, they're in the wilderness. He's guiding them. He's supplying their needs. He is telling them, you're about to receive the inheritance as what I have promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because I am their God. And we notice, because of this gripping, complaining, holding on, let's go back to Egypt, which is bondage, we notice their journey was a mess. And when I said a mess, it's just emotional back and forth. But what I want us to focus on today are two eye-grabbing scriptures that appeared in front of me while I'm reading through Exodus and Numbers, and I felt a bit of a stung. Yes, it was stinging as though I had been hit by a wasp. And I don't know if you ever had a wasp sting before, but it doesn't feel good, and it doesn't stop immediately. So with that said, I want us to check out Numbers 14. But before we get started, let me give you a bit of a background. So while you're looking and scrolling for Numbers chapter 14, let me tell you what has just occurred. Now, Joshua and Caleb and other spies have given a report about Canaan, which is the new promised land, and the people are just not feeling it. And the people who went with Caleb and Joshua, they describe Canaan as if it is impossible to take out the people that are there. They're giants. We look like grasshoppers. We do not think we should go. So as they're describing their perspective, their opinion, they begin to say, look, we're going to take out Joshua and Caleb, Moses, Aaron, who have brought us to this wilderness to die. And God is like, no, you won't. You're not going to stone anybody. So now, let's look at this. You ain't going nowhere. And I have to emphasize, ain't on purpose, because God said, I'm not dealing with this no more. You will stay in the wilderness for 40 years, and you will not inherit the land that I promised to Abraham, Jacob, and Israel. I will just save it for the next generation. Joshua and Caleb, you should go with the next generation, the new crew. Okay, did y'all get that? That's the background. So just look back in Numbers 14, and we're going to check out verse 39. Just read it to all the way to verse 39. Okay, so now this is where we're going to focus. When Moses reported this all to the Israelites, they mourned bitterly. Early the next morning, they set out for the highest point in the hill country, saying, "Now we are ready to go to the land the Lord promised. Surely we have sinned." 41, but Moses says, "Why are you disobeying the Lord's command? This will not succeed. Do not go up, because the Lord is not with you. You will be defeated by your enemies, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites will face you there, because you have turned away from the Lord. He will not be with you, and you will fall by the sword." Nevertheless, in their presumption, they went up towards the highest point in the hill country, though neither Moses nor the Ark of Lord's covenant moved from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and attacked them and beat them down all the way to Hormah. Now, I did read from the NIV translation, so it could be a little bit more clearer than the King James Version. But overall, they are mourning bitterly, like, "Are you serious? We got to stay here for 40 years now? This is whack. Lord, please forgive us. We will do everything that you have said." And let's get into the meat. This is the meat of our show today. The topic is disappointment in the wilderness. So let's hold up and wait a minute. While I was reading this, I literally grasped my heart and I thought, too late? Too late? You're repenting and it's too late? You should have done this the first time, came to my mind. You should have repented and you should have just went ahead and done what God gave you the grace and mercy to do. So y'all, straight up, I got nervous because I began to think about my own life's assignment and literally started shaking in my boots. Y'all hear me? Again, let me refresh your memory. When we get to this particular point in Numbers, the Israelites have heard a report from the spies of Canaan. There are about five different groups who the Israelites have to fight and just literally move them out the way. God is on their side. We have these two guys named Caleb and Joshua saying, "Look, we have it. We can go out and take them. God is on our side again." And the others are like, when I say the other spies are like, nah, they're too big. They are this and that, convincing and influencing the others not to go to the land of milk and honey. But because of this report, they would not go. They would rather go back to Egypt, bondage. God is like, "I don't think so. I'm about to kill y'all." Moses pleads with God and reminds him, "Remember who you are, Almighty. God, we can't go out like this, and you can't either. It's about your reputation, and it's about your namesake." And God agrees with Moses and says, "Yeah, you are right. However, they are just going to stay here for 40 years, die out, and I will send the new generation." And y'all, I'm just recapping what just happened. So let's go through a couple of points that came to my mind while I was reading this with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Of course, we are not condemned, but we are supposed to walk in the Spirit. But this really caught my attention is because we know that God has grace and mercy over our lives, no doubt about it. But there are expectations that he expects us to do, expects us to achieve, and if we're grumbling, we're complaining, we are sitting on our behinds in a sense, and he's telling us, just take it, you're going to have to fight. We know that we fight through the spiritual warfare that we deal with every day. We have to fight. We have the tools. He's given us the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Holy Spirit, the shield of faith, the shoes of the gospel for peace, and the buckle of truth. That is our tools. And we must believe that if he said, "I will never forsake you," have faith that you can do it, whatever it is, because we are all on different assignments, but our destination is the same. Hallelujah. So we're starting to see that because of this griping and moaning continuously getting on God's nerves, he's like, look, if y'all don't want it, bye. But you will not. Now, I like this part, obviously. You will not go back to bondage. You will not go back to Egypt. And it took a hold of me because there's some times when we are disappointed and we're just like, forget this. I'd rather go back to what I was in. This is too hard. Why are we going through this motions? This is ridiculous. And you sometimes have the thought, man, I'd rather just go back to where I came from. It cannot be as hard as this, right? But God is saying no. And especially if you have your encouragers like, man, you can keep it going, keep it moving, keep on pushing, resist the distraction, resist the temptation, and you still say, get out of my way, I'm going to go back. I don't know what's going to be in your future. But when I look into Numbers 39 and see that, we have a people that finally get like, okay, Lord, okay, I'll do it. Just like a kid being reprimanded, like, oh, no, I'll do it now after you take something away from them. He's like, no, it's too late. Whew. Yes, call me at 213-943-3794, 213-943-3794 to tell me your thoughts. You can look at Just Appeal's blog at justappealblog.blogspot.com, infusing your day with God's word. But the nitty gritty of this whole text is that the people are mourning and weeping after they hear this news that they're not going anywhere. They're not even going back to Egypt, and they're not even moving forward to Canaan, to the promised land. You know, when you are reprimanded or have a consequence coming around the corner, you're like, no, I'm so sorry, I'll do it. And it reminded me of parenthood when you're telling your children again they're in trouble because they didn't do what you told them to do, they didn't obey, and they begin to plead like, no, mommy, no. And the truth is, you have already made your decision, and that's exactly what God did. He has left the building. He has told them it is too late. He said, nope, Israelites, it's done. And they're like, wait, Lord, no, we'll fight now. We'll fight. We'll follow your commandments. And Moses even warns them and say, no, are you crazy? You are going to die. And the last scripture says exactly that. When we read through 41, what Moses said, why are you disobeying the Lord's commandment? This will not succeed. Do not go up because the Lord is not with you. You will be defeated by your enemies, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites will face you there because you have turned away from the Lord. He will not be with you, and you will fall by the sword. Nevertheless, key point here, verse 44, nevertheless, in their presumption, they went up towards the highest point in the hill country, though neither Moses nor the Ark of the Lord's Covenant moved from the camp. So this is very important because when you see the Ark of the Lord's Covenant in the Old Testament, that's the presence of the Lord at that time. So what we know, and this is biblical history, is when the Israelites were fighting, they did take the Ark of the Covenant with them because it was the presence of the Lord, and that's what went down. So Moses said, no, you ain't taking the Ark of the Lord's Covenant with you. It's going to stay right here in this camp, and you guys go on and do what you do. Okay, so when we look at 45, then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who live in that hill country came down and attacked them and beat them down all the way to Hormah. They were defeated. Okay. Again, I want to know your thoughts. 213-943-3794. 213-943-3794. Again, you can listen to Just Appeal Radio 24/7. Just go on a binge as far as listen to each episode because it does build regarding what is happening in today and how we can reflect God's word in our own personal lives. We are live here on Thursday, 1:30 Eastern Time. So just tell me what you're thinking. Again, call at 213-943-3794, 213-943-3794. All right. This is my reflection. I began to sweat, no doubt, because I thought, what? Lord, is it really too late? No one is trying to be in this position. On the wrong assignment and at the wrong time. And y'all, this is so real, but it can be so subtle, okay? So this is what had me quivering in my own convictions. I was straight up fearful. And when I say fearful, reverencing God with a repentful heart. And this is why, because I begin to question in my own personal life, am I walking in the way that he should have me? And I'm just as transparent as I can be, so I'm going to let you know the thoughts that I had. And this is why quiet time is so important, because you have the opportunity to reflect with the Holy Spirit and you receive answers back. So please get into your quiet time, because God is so willing to hear from you and to let you know this is what's going on in your little heart. So I started asking these questions. Lord, am I complaining and grumbling? Number two, have I told you, God, this is too hard, where I become fearful? Am I using my talents correctly? And what I've been struggling with is more so of my own individual assignment. Like I've told you in the last episode, was that I know I have received different promised lands in my own life. So, for example, marriage, I have children, I have a career, education, I've served, I enjoy serving, I've done ministry work, I wrote a book. So I'm just listing those things to let you know that I have received many blessings from God. But the next assignment that is literally just pumping and moving in my heart is to continue on progressing with my marriage, okay, with my children, with my personal achievements, my personal goals, and I got stuck in my own personal goals. Okay, hopefully that's clear. So I began to fight the fact that I'm in this one area of my life that feels a little bit discontentment when I think about my spiritual gift. Hallelujah. What is your spiritual gift, Winnell? Well, my spiritual gift is writing. I've known that from the very beginning as a child. I may not have known it was my spiritual gift, but it's something that comes very natural to me. And my spiritual gift is that writing about God. Point blank, there you go. So I've been stuck in that area. I feel like this has been my wilderness, that I'm not moving. And what God wanted me to reflect upon was that, hold on now, you better hold off, because you're looking at one area and not the entire, I guess, scheme of my life as far as being a mother and as a wife. And once he began to, the word is download, sometimes people say, speak to me, let me reflect, I recognized that I was fighting a spiritual warfare as far as not seeing that he has brought me to a place where I'm not stuck. Hopefully this makes sense. So I'm trying to make it as clear as possible. Let me just articulate it. That I'm not stuck anywhere. That I am progressing. That a part of my spiritual gifts is him working in me as a wife, a mother, and a homemaker, because I am a stay-at-home mom and I do work from home. And I can go into that maybe a little bit later, but there has been an adjustment, no doubt. But it just took me a second to say, like, oh, shoot, Lord, I ain't trying to have any type of consequences, any type of setback, because I'm not following your commands. I'm complaining about everything under the sun. I'm not being grateful. And by the time that I get to the point where you give me a consequence, well, hey, Noah, that's my middle name, or Winnell, you're not going to get it. And then I go like, no, 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 please, please don't do it. And he's like, no, I'm done with it. Ooh, Because the truth of the matter is, nobody knows how grand His grace and mercy is, or there's not an expiration date, but because God is so sovereign, He can do whatever He wants. Because He's going to make sure, like, you don't know that He is God, right? Yes. So that's why I got so scared, y'all. I don't even lie. I was just like, oh, shoot. Lord, help me. So one thing, I begin to ask more questions, and I love that about the Lord, is that are my actions showing my belief and faith in God? Am I trusting in Him? Because the issue with these people in the wilderness, and this is anybody and everybody, we get to a point in our lives, and it may be multiple, where we're not trusting in Him. You know, when you think about Joshua and Caleb telling, like, look, y'all, just have faith. God is with us. We're going to take the giants down. We're going to take out these other folks that can't stand us down. And they like, nah, I'm done. I'd rather go back. And they got so upset with Joshua and Caleb, they became violent. They wanted to kill it because they wasn't trying to hear it. And that's human nature, isn't it? Yes, it is. So God's like, no, you won't. Mm-mm. You ain't doing that. Because I'm going to keep this promise. And another part that I'm looking in my own life, okay, what about those people that are telling me you can do it? They're saying we are able to overcome this. And I'm literally just shutting them down like, man, you're tripping. I don't know what you're seeing right now, but I'm not going to do this. Right? And know this, there was a sermon that I cannot think of the man's name, but he's about almost 90. He's 80-something years old. He's real tall. Charles Stanley, that's his name. And I remember a couple of years back, he was doing a sermon, and please check out his videos because he's awesome and amazing. But he was doing a sermon talking about if you will not be used, God will replace you. And I heard another sermon maybe 4 months ago, where another person's exit is somebody else's entrance. Yes. Let's say this and let's come to an agreement. We do not want to miss out on the blessings, the greater blessing that God has for us. No. And I am not even talking about a personal accomplishment. We have to ask the Holy Spirit, of course, to show us where are we being successful in God the Father's eyes, right? So that is in serving, that is in giving, that is in encouraging, that's looking after elderly parents, that's looking after the widow, that's taking care of the orphans, that's giving your tithes, that's giving clothes, things of that nature, because the truth is, living in this nation, at least America's nation, I can't speak for any others, but now is really what it states in Timothy about people being lovers of themselves. You know, it's YouTube is crowded, overflowing with how to do this, how to make more money, how to be an entrepreneur, how to put a bitch together, how to write, how to be your self-publisher, how to do this. And there are many different tools at our hands. But a part of us being in this earth is doing God's work. And Jesus says you must lose your life in order to gain it. So hallelujah, Holy Spirit, for that, because I just received revelation is that they were losing their life as far as coming out of Egypt. They're coming out of bondage, and they were gaining so much more, but they refused to just go with the process. They just refused to obey. They just refused to be content. And that's what got me, y'all. That got me like, you better get to this grateful point. You better worship Him. You better shut it down. You better fight longer. And when I say longer, praying, spending more time. Because I already know as it shows, when we reach a different destination, we're going to have to deal with something. We're dealing with different principalities, and they're very deceiving and conniving, right? But we cannot say, well, we can't do it. Absolutely not, because we do have the Holy Spirit that's going to show us how. Now, the truth is, that flesh ain't going to feel good, but we have to overcome our flesh. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, God, for that. So, with my own reflections, I just had to remember, and God said to me, look, I know you got faith, girl, because I do have some faith, y'all. I really do. But he showed me I'm working with you with the process of where you're trying to get to next, or where I want you to go next, all that it requires. I'm giving the instructions on the journey so you can move along. And I want you to be satisfied with that. Hallelujah. I want you to know that you are whole, W-H-O-L-E, in me. Not anything else in me. And one thing I had to grasp in the midst of these, 5 to 6 scriptures, is that Moses, and we'll talk about him the next show, but Moses didn't doubt God's word. Okay, we do see him at the burning bush. He's like, what, me? But he didn't doubt God's word. When we see him in motion, he's even reminding God, like, look, hold on. Don't kill us. Don't kill them, Lord. Don't kill them. Because they just ain't getting it right now. Although, yes, he got caught up in anger, but, you know, that's just humanism. It's, you know, that's a part of us, right? He did forget in that moment what God had told him, but we'll talk about that next week. But we're really starting to see, like, his relationship with God and how he became that prophet, how he became that messenger to the people. And one thing I can say about Moses, he did not waver. He was ready to go. I mean, I cannot imagine millions coming at you telling, like, look, this is whack, I want to go back. But he didn't waver. And so that's the takeaway on today. Do not waver in this wilderness that you may be experiencing. It could be mental wilderness. And when I say that, just mental intoxication, as far as like depression, oppression, not good enough, whatever the Satan is throwing at you. You know, even your physical health, you may not be as healthy as you want to be. You might be dealing with a sickness or illness. Spiritually, you're just not feeling close to God. You feel there's a distance between you and him. You're just not feeling as though he's listening, or you're moving forward. And the other part of it all is just as a human being where our faith turns into doubt. So when it is in that testing mode, are you going to believe and have faith in this wilderness? Are you going to follow God's instruction? Are you going to fight against what's coming? Are you even going to take the time to be in your tent, be in the face of God, and just let him speak it, move it, be a banner in your life for any type of conflict that you are facing at this moment? Are you going to be the Joshua and say, look, and the Caleb, we got this, y'all. We going to move on forward. You might be the only one, because we're seeing, like, these numbers against Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. They were great. They were great. But are you going to be that one to push forward? So my advice, or suggestion, let's just say suggestion, would be to pause for a second and ask God. And it might be a tough answer when you get it back. However, am I in the place that you want me to be in? Am I facing consequences right now? Am I moving in the direction that you would have me to go? Am I being as faithful as possible? And see what he says, right? Hallelujah, he is going to comfort you because he is our comforter. But we do not want to get caught up ever thinking to go back in bondage when he has set us free, free indeed. Hallelujah. So be blessed. Next week we will talk about Moses, his character, his leading, and how we relate to him. Hallelujah. So again, thank you for joining me today. We will see you next week. Be blessed. Hallelujah.